Welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. My name's Eric Francis Coppolino, the host of PlanetWaves.fm and the author of the Planet Waves Horoscope, which resumes on Thursday with the February monthly edition. Welcome to a new edition of StarCast. This one is timed ahead of the full moon in the sign Cancer. That full moon takes place at 6:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, January 17, 2022. All times in this podcast are in Eastern Time. I have some notes on the full moon for you. Just to recap the very basics, all weekend we have been experiencing a conjunction of the Sun and Pluto. That conjunction is still in effect. It's only about 26, a little more than a degree out, but it is emphasized by the presence of the full moon, which is the moon opposite the sun, and in this case, opposite Pluto. So we're still getting the full effect of that sun-Pluto conjunction, and then this is kind of dramatized by the moon swinging through the territory. We are still in the, what you might say, the decaying or late stages of the chaos generated by the two-year-long square of Pluto and Eris. That two-year-long square began approximately January 23rd, 2020. There was, for those who follow the inside baseball of the so-called pandemic, there was a lot that happened that weekend. It was basically the launch of, I'll cue this one term and move on. It was the publication, the submission and instantaneous publication of something called the Corman-Drosten paper by Christian Drosten and Victor Corman, which proposed fraudulently that there was community spread, a known virus, and a legitimate test to find that virus. So we are living out the chaos in many, many forms of the square of Pluto and Eris. That square is now separating. Pluto has moved on. Its last iteration was in December. However, we have been, you might say, in the throat of that square as the sun has moved through the territory, and now today the moon is moving through the territory. The exciting thing about the moment that we are in is that the big story is the narrative crumbling. Various things about the narrative crumbling are getting hundreds of thousands of hits, and part of that narrative crumbling is the admission, acknowledgement, and understanding of what a mass psychosis formation is. That was the huge thing that was trending last week, which some say, quote, blew up the internet, unquote. So we are seeing now another manifestation of all things Plutonian, this power that Pluto has to do things like drop the World Trade Center like marionettes. We need to be mindful of this, particularly as we experience a full moon with Pluto involved today. Now, looking more closely at that chart, there are several things that stand out, let's say, to the trained eye. One of them is that the moon is conjunct the asteroid Bernie. What is he? Never heard me say that before. B-U-R-N-E-Y. What the holy heck is the asteroid Bernie? Well, it's particularly interesting in aspect to Pluto. Bernie was the name of the young girl who allegedly wrote a letter to Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered Pluto, suggesting the name Pluto. They did some kind of a promotion on the back of cereal boxes or in Boys Life magazine or Girl Scout Cookie Digest, whatever it was, to get the youth of America to propose a name for the newly discovered planet Pluto back in the 1930s. And this suggestion of this girl, Bernie, I forget her first name, proposed to Clyde Tombaugh. Apparently, this story is bullshit. So when you see the asteroid Bernie, you think misnamed or the wrong story. This is apocryphal. This is questionable. This was repackaged as made for television. Moon conjunct Bernie is part of the full moon. B-U-R-N-E-Y. Bernie is opposite Pluto. Now, Pluto's a great name for Pluto, but, you know, whatever. All right, next. There is a centaur in a square to the moon-sun opposition. So the moon and sun are opposite 27 degrees and 51 minutes. Bernie is at 27 and 57. And then there is a centaur called Elatus at 27 Libra. Elatus is the misleader. Elatus is the let's do this. What a great idea. Everyone follow me. And then things don't go so well. So that is square the solar lunar axis, and take that for what it's worth. Speaking of solar lunar, the lunar nodes are about to change signs and enter Taurus Scorpio. They've been in Gemini Sag for about the past 18 months. I think we've had quite enough of that, and now they're going to move on. Like it matters. And then they're going to move back into the Taurus Scorpio axis. The lunar node's average motion is retrograde. They tend to toggle back and forth during the course of the week or the month, but overall the direction is retrograde. So we have essentially a new player, because everything changes. It's kind of a whole new game. When something as important as the lunar nodes change signs, they are, of course, followed by and are already being followed by the eclipses. One of the eclipses, a lunar eclipse late last year in December or so, was maybe it was November, was in Taurus. So we're already starting to get the effect of eclipses on the Taurus-Scorpio axis. This, of course, can represent a crisis over resources. All right, back to tonight's full moon. There is quite the cluster in Capricorn that's kind of spurring things along. That cluster includes, I'm going to do this twice today, this cluster includes Pholus, Ixion, Quasar, Vesta, Venus, Juno, Pluto, and the Sun, and a bunch more things I've not, I'm too lazy to look up. But that's not really true. I've got all those asteroid charts out. But that's quite enough for Capricorn. And so the moon has been bouncing around all these points all weekend. If you've noticed that you were a little edgy or feeling like you couldn't quite face what you're having to confront in life or something, that's the moon opposite all these planets in Capricorn. Now, remember that we are in the last full year of Pluto in Capricorn, so things that have happened a number of times over the past years are now happening for the last time as Pluto gets ready to make its ingress into Aquarius, which it's going to do all through 2023. Through 23, Pluto is going to be in very late Capricorn or very early Aquarius. 23 is the transitional year, so this is the last lunation of its kind with Pluto in Capricorn, and that means pay attention. We are in a review phase right now. I have been pitching Venus retrograde in Capricorn as the review of all of Pluto in Capricorn. This involves the fact that Venus is retrograde in the sign where Pluto has been, but also way back at the beginning of the retrograde, in mid to late December, there was a kind of a double hook of Venus making a direct motion conjunction to Pluto, stopping about a degree and a half away, then making a retrograde conjunction to Pluto on Christmas. So we've got a very Plutonian Venus retrograde, and what I have been suggesting in my various written pieces and in the Capricorn birthday reading, Capricorn Astrology Studio, good listening for everyone, especially if you're studying astrology, is that we are in a review phase. The review phase is enhanced by the fact that Mercury is retrograde. Mercury is retrograde in Aquarius, and as Mercury keeps on being retrograde, it too is going to enter Capricorn, and the Mercury retrograde ends with a double conjunction to Pluto very similar to how the Venus retrograde began a few weeks ago. A reminder that in other very important news related to, let's say, scandals and society, one of the things that is feeding all of this, the narrative is crumbling, things are coming out by the hour, challenging and completely disproving this psychodrama narrative we've been living through for the past 2 years. Of course, everything coming out now has already come out 6 times already, but it's finally starting to get some attention, is that Jupiter is working its way into a conjunction with Nessus. This is my personal indicator that we are going to get a very close look at many things that have been concealed or denied, that that have been a little bit too ugly for many people to pay attention to. And hey, look, I don't blame anyone for being in denial. A scary respiratory pandemic is certainly easier to cope with than a vast planetary conspiracy to take over the world by merging humans with the internet. But what freaky people believe that? And stay tuned for a UFO landing sometime soon. They are priming the population for that. While I'm on my stand-up comedy routine about true things, we had some extraordinarily Capricorn stuff go on over the weekend with a volcano in a place called Tonga, which is, let's see, is it east or west of Australia? I keep getting, yeah, it's east of Australia, but the southern hemisphere confuses me. I'm sure the northern hemisphere confuses a lot of people from Australia. And this volcano, this undersea volcano, not the kind that looks like a mountain with smoke coming out of it like on the Flintstones, but an undersea volcano ejected, had two major eruptions, and he ejected stuff 20 kilometers into the environment. This has set off earthquakes, and you had the entire Pacific Rim on tsunami alert over the weekend, and lots of reports of various just different little shaking and quaking type events. One thing I found humorous was that without any prompting, people were saying, well, when the COVID narrative gets old, let's just have a volcanic eruption and earthquakes. Now, to my knowledge, which is a direct knowledge from primary sources, they can make earthquakes. This is according to William Cohen, Secretary for Defense under President Clinton, who admitted as much in a press conference way back in the 1990s, early 1990s, when Clinton was president. But I don't think they can make a volcano. Now, I think that, you know, humans are very enamored of their power to manipulate the natural world, but I still think that volcanoes are outside of their, you know, power as technological manipulators of the world. However, what I liked about the volcano, and still like about it, and kind of like about all volcanoes, is they remind us that whatever may be going on in our heads, whatever dramas we may think we're living through, whatever we do to get high by being threatened and thinking we're living through the worst thing ever, when we're not the right thing anyway, a big volcano can go off, and a big volcano can do something like cause a kind of nuclear winter for the whole planet, and there ain't shit nobody can do about it. So I would say this is all a reminder to pay attention to and concern yourself with things that matter. Controlling and manipulating your neighbors does not. Now, one last exciting thing is one of the aspects we've been living with is Arachne conjunct Pholus. So Arachne is the arachnid, the spider's web, the weaving of tales, and all things that are conspiratorial. So if you're talking to a client and the client has the moon conjunct Arachne, they're likely to tell you all kinds of stories about the conspiracies going on their mother's side of the family. And who knows, maybe their mom is like in the CIA or in the mafia. But Arachne conjunct Pholus, which we've had for days now, is this eruption, this uncontrollable eruption of the truth coming out. I'll be updating the next Starcast a little bit early to make way for the sun's ingress into the sign Aquarius. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, please subscribe to Planet Waves or buy something from us. We like doing this. You like coming here. Let's keep that energy exchange going in the spirit of Reiki. That is very important. Signing off from a very chilly day in Kingston, New York at 12:21 p.m. on the 17th, my name's Eric Francis. Bye for now.